Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for all that you've done, that you, Father, were putting all things back together in Christ, not counting our sins against us. Thank you, Lord, that you have reconciled us to yourself. We pray, Jesus, that your Spirit would come and lead us as Jamie comes to speak. Holy Spirit, we ask and invite your presence to rest in this place. Make us aware of your presence. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks, Curtis. So we are 14 days from Easter Sunday, which means that we are 20 days from the day that Curtis and Hannah get married. I know. So one of the things I've learned since being in Canada is that there's two ways to get legally married. One is by a marriage license that gets signed and that kind of stuff. And the other is called the publishing of wedding bands. And so today we're going to publish the wedding bands, it's called. Share, the document says, in an audible voice, the wedding bands for Curtis and Hannah. So this morning we're pleased to publish the bands for the upcoming marriage of Hannah Baim and Curtis Wright. Curtis and Hannah will be married here at Chartwell on Saturday, April the 7th, 2018 at 11 a.m. There we go. That was easy, wasn't it? 12-year, you can clap. It's okay. I don't think you're... 12 years being a pastor, that's my first time doing that. There's new things every day, it seems. I don't think you're married yet. Let's pray, shall we? God, thank you that you're here. Thank you that this is your place, this is your church, that we are your people. God, as your people today, we want you to speak to us. We want to hear from you. God, we want our hearts to be shaped and to be moved by your Holy Spirit. And so we ask that you'd do that today, that you would call us and draw us deeper into the people and into the church that you desire us to be. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So Kingdom Stories is where we've been spending our time over the last few weeks. We've been talking about seeds and weeds. We've been talking about leaven and feasts, banquets. See, we've been talking about Kingdom Stories because for our church, for us as a church, the kingdom is at the core of who we are. Our vision says that as followers of Jesus, we participate in his mission of reconciliation. Remember that four-part reconciliation that we talked about in the fall when we talked about we'd work through an Unbroken series. We talked about reconnecting people to God and to each other and to our own humanity and to the creation around us. We participate in his mission of reconciliation. And as we do that, we say, we will see the kingdom of God advanced in southwest Mississauga, especially in the Clarkson neighborhood and in all of our places of influence. See, what I find remarkable is that we live and we serve in this neighborhood together, and we are seeing that happen in our midst. We have a retirement home on our doorstep that we're invited to serve at. And out of having a retirement home there, we've seen Milne and Shirley decide to come and be part of this church and move into Walden and be part of the local church. And that's fantastic. We love that. We ran Saga Day Camp for 13 summers now. And then this January, David started coming to our church because when he wanted to go back to church, his daughter Amelia has been going to church for coming to camp for 5 years. So this is the church for them. Many of you have met Curtis, our drummer, who for 11 years was with Scouts at Clarkson Presbyterian Church, has been a Saga Sports Camp volunteer, a spin leader, and now a youth night leader. And out of that has been coming on Sundays and drumming regularly and is applying to work at summer camp this summer as part of the staff team. Or the Clarkson Business Improvement Association. Many of you know that I get to sit on the board of the Clarkson BIA, our local BIA, and that they've asked me to lead the strategic planning process, which we've been working through. So last Monday was our annual general meeting for the businesses of Clarkson Village, and the guests, everyone was there. The local councillor was part of it. A guest speaker from the Mississauga Board of Trade. And the current chair of the BAA is unwell at the moment. So the board asked me to chair the AGM for the local businesses of our neighborhood. And as part of that, to lead our local businesses through the strategic planning, the vision that we've been working on and some brainstorming around it. So we're developing a vision that says, yes, it says, as a successful village, we'll see people come to Clarkson as a result of our excellent businesses, our beautiful neighborhood, our village identity, and our sense of community. See, it's not often that the church gets to speak into the vision of the local businesses, let alone lead the process for the businesses. See, all of this is a reminder to me that the kingdom of God is advancing in Clarkson. It's advancing in our neighborhood. Slowly, faithfully, courageously, God is using us. We are living out our vision. See, I love the way that this is happening in our neighborhood. But even as I love it, there is still one significant gap that I'm seeing. One gap that still comes up in many conversations. One thing about us that continues to be challenging for us to live out our vision to its full. See, for 2 years now, the elders have been discussing this challenge that we have. For 2 years, the elders have been praying and talking to people and asking our discerners to pray for us. Because for all the good that we're doing in this neighborhood, there's still one thing that we believe needs to change for us to be who God has called us to be. There's that word again, right? Change. See, one thing I know to be true is that we all love change. What I should say is we all love change as long as we are in control of the change. I've said before that when a boat makes a 90-degree turn, change is fun. But it's when you're on the tube behind the boat that it's not quite so much fun. See, change is not always easy, but change is an important thing for us to talk about. So at our last elders meeting 2 weeks ago, the elders made the decision to talk about and to begin to implement a change that we believe needs to be made here. And that is a change to the name of the church. Over the past few years, I've talked to a lot of people in our church about our name. Clarkson Baptist Church, Clarkson Village. Chartwell Baptist Church, Clarkson Village. Get the words in the right order. See, I've had conversations with many of you about this name. What I've discovered is that I've had conversations that you've had with people as well. Chartwell, oh, are you part of the retirement community? Oh, I'm sorry I'm late to the meeting. I went to the Chartwell in Oakville. Baptist? Oh, I'm not Baptist. I could never go there. See, it's amazing that how many people in our church have told me that when they tell people about our church, they describe it, you describe it by what it is not. We are Chartwell, but we're not in Oakville. We're Chartwell, but we're not a retirement community. We're Chartwell Baptist Church, but we're not that kind of Baptist church, and not all the people who come here are Baptist, and anyone's welcome here. You don't have to be a Baptist to come here. See, we have a name that requires us to tell people who we are not in order for them to understand who we are. You hear that? We have a name that requires us to tell people who we're not in order for them to understand who we are. So we've been on this long journey of conversations about our church name. Over 2 years, this conversation has been happening. But at the elders' meeting 2 weeks ago, the elders decided that now is the time to talk about this in a more significant way, which is what we're going to do this morning. 4 weeks, we've been talking about kingdom stories. Times in Scripture where Jesus gives a picture of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like, is what he so often does when he tells these stories. Today we're going to tell another kingdom story, but this one is not a simile. This is a story about Jesus making a change for the sake of the kingdom. So you don't have to read too much of Scripture to recognize that God cares a whole lot about names. Right from the beginning, when the world was created, God cares about names. God named Adam and then gave Adam the job of naming things. Because God believes that names are important. God found a guy named Abram and decided to give him the gift of a few more letters to add to his name and rename him Abraham. Because God believes that names are important. His wife was Sarai, but God renamed her Sarah. Because God believes that names are important. Their grandson was a kid named Jacob. And God named him Israel because God wanted to make clear the purpose of his life. Because God believes that names are important. Over and over in Scripture, God names things. God names people. God names a nation. So that when people encounter them, it would be clear what God is doing through them. It would be clear what God is calling them to be and what God is calling them to do. So when we come to the story of Jesus, we discover that right in the midst of Jesus' ministry, he does what his Father has been doing for all of history. Jesus takes a disciple whose name is Simon, and he gives him the name Peter. John chapter 1 is where we're reading from. It's going to be on the screen, or you can turn to it. Either way is fine. John chapter 1 from verse 35 says this: "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him said this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,' which means teacher, 'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who had heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We've found the Messiah, that is, the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, 'You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas,' which, when translated, is Peter." So two of John the Baptist's disciples are standing with John when John the Baptist points out Jesus and says to them, "Look, there he is. He's the one that you should follow." And then these two disciples, one of whom is Andrew, they begin to follow Jesus. But they follow him, it would seem, in a way that they think that Jesus doesn't know that they're following. Like the car in a movie that is tailing another car, trying to stay far enough back to not be spotted, but close enough to not lose him. But nothing escapes Jesus' attention. We know that. Like Jason Bourne spotting the tail, Jesus sees them following. But unlike Jason Bourne, Jesus doesn't run. He turns and he asks them, "What do you want?" You know, Jesus gives them the invitation to come and to see. Come and see my life. Come and see what I'm about. Come and see what I'm doing. This beautiful invitation to participate, to try out the Jesus life, to have a go at being part of Jesus' community. And after trying it out with Jesus for a day, Andrew did the thing that he's known for in Scripture. He went and found someone to bring to Jesus. See, Andrew was the guy who brought the boy with the loaves and bread to Jesus when he fed 5,000 people. Jesus brought the Greeks to Jesus when they wanted an audience with him. But before both of those, Andrew goes and finds his brother Simon. "We have found the Messiah," Andrew says. "We've spent the day with him, and I've seen that he is the real thing. He is the Christ. Come and see for yourself." So Simon goes to meet Jesus, and when he does, Jesus does this remarkable thing. He gives Simon a new name. "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. So I discovered something new this week. See, when I've thought about this story in the past, I just assumed that Peter was a common name, and it had a meaning, and that meaning was rock. Like how the name Jamie means to supplant or replace, at least according to meaningofnames.com, that's what it means. Because everything on the internet's true, right? The name Karen means pure or dear. And the name Ryan means little king, I'm told, which I think is what we're all going to start calling Ryan from now on. See, but that's not what happened. When Jesus made this change to Peter's name, Peter wasn't a name. It wasn't a name that other people had. It literally meant rock. It would be like us saying to Ryan, we're not going to call you Ryan, we're going to call you Little King. His response would be, but that's not a real name. Don't worry, Jesus would say, if I call you that enough, it will become a name that people eventually use to call their kids. Jesus meets Simon, and when he does, he creates a new name for him. Why? Because Jesus wants to make clear to Simon and to everyone he encounters exactly what his role in God's mission is. We've seen throughout Scripture that God believes that names are important. So Jesus continues to do that by making clear to everyone around them who Peter is and what Peter's life stands for. When we look at Peter's life, we all know that Peter messes up. He gets it wrong. He makes mistakes. But Jesus looks past that. And Jesus names Peter for who he is calling him to be. Then Jesus proceeds to make Peter into what he has called Peter to be. An author named Jean Vanier wrote this. He said, when God changes someone's name, as he did with Abram, who became Abraham, or Sarai, his wife, who became Sarah, or Jacob, who became Israel, it has a special significance. Simon is called to be a rock of faith and strength, the rock upon which the house of God would be built. Simon is now Peter, the rock. A mission is being suggested to him, a mission which will become clearer later. See, this mission for Peter is a mission that will include the formation and the leadership of the church. As they seek to live and proclaim the way of Jesus so that people become captivated by its message, so that people are rescued and redeemed into the life that Jesus has created them for. In Matthew, Jesus says to Peter, I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Peter's given a message and a mission for the foundation and the formation of the church. And this formation is so significant and so powerful that Jesus proclaims that not even the gates of death and destruction can keep people away from what God is going to do through Peter. Because that's what gates do, right? They separate people. Which is also what death does. Death separates people. But by changing Peter's name, Jesus proclaims that even those who live lives separated from God cannot be kept away from the message of salvation, the message of redemption that God is going to proclaim through Peter. This is your purpose, Peter. This is what I'm calling you into, Peter. This is what your life is going to be about. You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. I mean, imagine God saying that to you. Imagine God telling you that your name needs to change so that everyone around you knows what you are about and why you exist. See, this is the journey that we believe God has had us on as a church. For 2 years, we've been seeing and hearing things that we believe are about God wanting us to change our name. So that when people encounter us, they will see clearly what God is doing. We believe God is saying that it is time to change our name. See, Chartwell and Oakville have suggested to us that we should change our name. Several discerners have recommended that we change our name. People who were founders of this church have suggested that we should change our name. The pastors of the local churches in this area believe that changing our name makes sense. Our prayer and discernment team, a team of Linda and Sandy and Tammy and Daryl, I'm part of that as well. See, that team has prayed and they believe that the first step towards understanding the future of this property is to change our name. And our elders believe that as we've talked and gathered feedback for a couple of years now, that this is the time for us to make the change. We believe that God is saying that it's time to change our name as a church. So, let's talk about that for a minute, because there's two parts to changing a name. The first part is letting go of the old one. I hope you have seen enough this morning to know that letting go of the name Chartwell Baptist Church, Clarkson Village, is an important step for us. Not because it's a bad name. I mean, Chartwell's a heritage that we're proud of. It's a heritage that has made us into who we are. See, but Chartwell is a name that defines who we were, not who we are becoming. It's a name that defines our past, not our future. It's a name that we need to let go of. It's a name that we believe God is asking us to let go of. And likewise, the name Baptist. Just to be clear, we're not planning on stopping being Baptist. See, our practices are very Baptist and will continue to be Baptist. So there's no plan here for us to not be Baptist. But there are plenty of churches that don't have the name Baptist in their name. Andrew left here to go to a Baptist church called Compass Community Church. Kristen left here to go to a Baptist church called Ford Church. I called it Ford Baptist Church and she told me off because that's not how they want to be known. See, to change a name is not the same as changing our practice or even as changing our denomination. It's about recognizing what God is doing in us and through us right here and right now. And we believe that at the heart of what God is doing through us, that heart is neither defined by the words Chartwell or the word Baptist. I think that's why we spend so much time telling people who we are not. See, that's why we believe that letting go of the name Chartwell Baptist Church is important. But there's a second part to changing a name, because you can let go of a name, but then you can't just have no name, because that doesn't work very well. See, the second part of changing a name is about finding a new name. So to do that, let me tell you a story. Every few months, I get together for a meal with pastors from our neighborhood. Stephen Peake from St. Bride's Anglican Church. Justin Joplin from Lawn Park Baptist Church. Dale Skinner, who was at St. Stephen's on the Hill United Church. And Gail McDonald from Clarkson Road Presbyterian Church. See, these are the churches that we're sharing Holy Week with, that we're taking this journey through Holy Week and have done for a few years now. So Clarkson Road Presbyterian Church, where Gail is, they're the church that we partner with on our summer camp. The sports camp runs on their property. It's a partnership that paints a picture to our neighborhood of what it means for churches to work together. So 18 months ago, Gail and I were walking back together from lunch with the other pastors. We ate over at Wallen Circle in the dining room there, and we were walking back from that. And as we walked back to the church, we were talking about how the names of churches can so easily cause divisions. I was sharing with her some of the things that I'd already started hearing about an interest in changing the name of our church. And so we were standing on the front lawn on our patch of grass just out there. And she starts waving her arms up toward our church building and around the neighborhood. And she said, in this neighborhood, you're Clarkson Community Church. That's how people know you. That's how people see you. This community sees you as Clarkson Community Church. See, that's what she said as we were talking. One of the challenges that always comes with giving our churches a name is deciding who you're naming yourself for. Are you naming yourself for the people inside the church, or are you naming yourself for the people outside the church? See, if you name yourself for the people inside the church, then the name's different, because so often those names erect barriers or boundaries. Wear this, and if you're not this, then you'll know that you don't fit here. So when you name yourself for those inside the church, often churches use church words to do it. Use Christian words, words that people in the church know because they're the insiders and they get it. But when you name yourself for those outside the church, something different happens. See, your goal is different. When you name yourself for those outside the church, you need a name that helps people understand why you exist. You need a name that helps people understand your purpose. Throughout Scripture, God gives people names so that those they encounter would understand what God is doing in them and through them. So we believe that God is doing the same with us, in order that when people encounter us, they would see clearly what God is doing here. They would see clearly what God has called us to. 2 weeks ago, at the elders' meeting, our elders voted to begin the process of changing our name to Clarkson Community Church. Process. There's a word you like to hear, right? So what's the process by which a church name changes? Well, the process begins with the elders deciding to move forward. And the process ends with a vote of the members of the church on whether to change the name. It's our plan to have a vote at the June annual general meeting of the church on whether to change the name of the church. Because that's a decision you make. That's a decision that the members of the church make. But between now and June, that annual general meeting, there's a key step that we want to take to help us figure this out. Last year, my wife Allie and my daughter Kayla were in a car accident, and an SUV turned into them at an intersection and rode off the car that they were driving. And so we began that awful process of changing cars. I tell you, I hate buying cars. It's not something that I enjoy doing at all. And last year we had to do it twice because our van died as well. The difference between buying those two vehicles was absolutely astonishing. See, the van, when we went to buy it, we were limited on when we were allowed to test drive it. We were only allowed to drive that van if the salesperson was in there with us. We were only allowed to drive the route that he chose for us to drive. I had to negotiate with him to be able to go up a side street to test the steering lock of the vehicle, because he had clear in his mind, this is how it's going to happen. But buying the car, that was a completely different story. See, I went in and I looked at a car. And the salesperson, he wanted to sell it to me right there and then, because, I mean, that's what car salespeople do, right? They want you to buy it there and then. So I used the classic excuse to not buy a car, which was, well, my wife and kids aren't here, and I would want them to see it first. I mean, that's a great excuse, right? At which point, the salesperson did something completely unexpected. This is what he said to me. Why don't you take it home and try it out? Take it home with you. Let them have a look around it. Let them have a drive and see what they think. So I did. I took this car home with me. We used it for the day. We drove it around. The kids tried playing with all the buttons in the car. We tested all those things that you wouldn't do if the salesperson was in the car with you. You know the things I'm talking about, right? And what I discovered that day is that if you want to know how something fits, you need to try it on. I mean, online shopping is great. We use online shopping in our house, especially for clothes, but what we find is we end up returning half the stuff because if we'd tried it on, we would have known what fit and what didn't fit. So that's what we want to do with a new name for our church. We want to try it on. We want to test it out. We want to use it for a while and see how it feels. See if it feels like us. And then once we've tried it on, then we can make a decision on whether we want to buy it, on whether we want to stick with it. See, this is the decision that we'll make at the AGM in June, the decision that you'll make at the AGM in June. So, between now and then, at the recommendation of our prayer and discernment team, and at the decision of our elders, we're going to start using a new name for our church on Easter Sunday. We're going to go to the grave on Good Friday as Chartwell Baptist Church and rise on Easter Sunday as Clarkson Community Church. And for 2 months, we'll try it on. We'll use the name. We'll read it. We'll say it. We'll write the name. We'll discuss the name. We'll ask for feedback on the name. And we'll take this name for a good, we'll take this name for a test drive. A good, robust, long-distance test drive. And then in June, we'll decide if it's us. That's the process that the elders have talked about, the process that we want to take over the next couple of months. So as I wrap up the talking this morning, let me just end by telling you what it is that I love about the name Clarkson Community Church. It's not the coolest name a church has ever had. It's not the hippest name the church has ever had. But it's a name that I believe has significant meaning for us. Clarkson. See, as we've been discussing the future of this property, there are a lot of things up in the air. Will there be affordable housing on the property? Will there be a community hub on this property? Will the school be involved in what happens on this property? Will we own the whole thing? Will we have a partner who owns half of it with us? There's a lot of questions still to be answered. But as we've prayed and talked about this, there is one thing that is consistently, abundantly clear. And that is that we are called to this neighborhood. We are called to serve in this neighborhood. God called us to Clarkson 14 years ago, and God wants us to continue to dive deeply into this place. Those of you who have been part of prayer times have heard this come up repeatedly as a clarifying direction for our church. This is where God wants us to be. See, we have a heritage of being named by a church who are named after the place that God called them to be. Chartwell Baptist Church in Oakville doesn't have that name because it's a magical name. They have that name because they are on Chartwell Road in Oakville. See, they are named after the place where God put them, and then they planted us in Mississauga and later specifically in the Clarkson neighborhood. Clarkson is a name that follows our heritage of being clear about where God has called us to be. Clarkson. Second word, community. I've been in this church for 7 years, and I'm not sure there are many words that I have heard more since I've been here than the word community. This is a church that's forever talking about community. Some of you might remember way back when Bob Cameron was ordained. He was ordained here by this church, and as he was being examined by the pastors of other churches, one of them asked him a really interesting question. The question was this: why are you continually talking about community? See, that's the heritage of this church. We serve the community. We bless the community. we become the community, which I love because one of our guiding principles is that mission is why the church exists. And Jesus made abundantly clear that mission begins in your own backyard. It begins in your own neighborhood. It begins in your community. See, this is our backyard. But I also love the word community because it's not just a noun, but it's also a verb. It's a doing word. See, community is what we do together. Community is the way that we interact with each other. Community is the way that we live together. Community brings people together in ways that allow them to do together what they could not have done on their own. I was looking up definitions for the word community, and there's a lot of different definitions out there, but one of them that resonated me was this: a group of people with a common characteristic or interest living together within a larger society. See, we want to be people living together who have a common characteristic, a common interest, living together within a larger society. Clarkson, community. And the third word, church. See, this is the common characteristic. This is the common interest. Because we are not a social club. We are not a service club. We're not a group of people who had a good idea once and decided to hang out together. We are the church. We are the body and the bride of Jesus Christ. We are a group of people whose common characteristic is Jesus Christ, whose common interest is seeing the kingdom of God advance from Clarkson to Mississauga and the GTA and to the ends of the earth. See, we are the church. We are the body and bride of Jesus Christ. This is who God is calling us to be. And by walking through a process of changing our name, we reveal to our neighborhood in a clearer way both who we are and who God is inviting them to be, in order that the kingdom of God would come and the will of God would be done in Clarkson as it is in heaven. Amen. As you drove here this morning, perhaps the morning you have come to was not the morning you came here expecting. If you have questions about what we're talked about the process we're going through, then if you want to talk to someone about it, then feel free to talk to one of the elders. Feel free to talk to one of the prayer and the discernment team, Linda Robinson, Sandy Broaddus, Daryl Smith, Tammy Pierce. Feel free to talk to one of our staff. We've been wrestling with this, all of us, for weeks. You need to know that there is going to be plenty of opportunity for input. There'll be opportunity to give feedback, to make suggestions. As you leave, there's a blue insert. Looks like this. It's by the door as you go today. It has some background and some next steps on it that you could read that summarize some of what we've talked about. Would love you to take one and to take it to read. But for now, we would love to have you be part of the journey, beginning on Easter Sunday, as we try on a new name for our church. Let's pray as we end this morning. Almighty God, we believe that you are here today. And we proclaim today that we are children of God, that that's the name you have given us, that that is who you have made us to be and called us to be, and that there is nothing that changes that, that you are our God and that we are your children. So God, as we walk through this process, if there be anything of the enemy that's trying to make us think that has changed, to make us think that you are no longer at the center, God, we pray that you would protect us from that you would banish it. God, most of all, we want to be obedient to you. We believe this is the first step in being obedient to you, so we pray that you would make clear to us what you're doing, make clear to us who you're calling us to be, make clear to us what it is that you want, God, because that's at the center. in order that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in this neighborhood as it is in heaven. God, may we go today knowing that you are the God who loves us, the God who is with us, the God who is for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Go in peace.